The other day we were running through the Gemara, Hey Amar Aleph. The Gemara talks about suffering. The Gemara says, "Imroy Adam sheyisurim boy mala v'yafashvej b'maisav." If a person suffers in this world, he should think back. Maybe it's a mida keneged mida. Maybe he sinned. Probably did sin. We usually assume ein yisurim b'loy chet, ein misa b'loy oven, ein yisurim b'loy chet. So the Gemara says he should look through his activities and he'll realize that he did an aver. Shalem anach besorah derachein avanach korim anashuv arashem pishpish v'leim matze yitpot bibitul terah. If he looks through all of his actions and he sees that he's a tzadik gomer, he didn't do anything wrong and he can't figure out why he's suffering, so he should assume that he did the avera bitul terah. So makshim ha'elam, how can it be that pishpish v'leim matze? If he's guilty of bittul terah, so why couldn't he find the bittul terah? A very strange gemara. So Rav Chaim Balojana has a famous interpretation on this gemara. He says that we usually assume that all the punishments that are given in Hashemayim are mida keneged mida. So if the person has trouble with his leg, he should assume that he did some aver with his leg. If the person has trouble with his ears, he should assume he did an aver with his ears. That's trouble with his hands, he should assume he did an aver with his hands. HaKadosh Baruch Hu punishes mida keneged mida, the same area that he sinned. So, yifashbeish b'maisav, if a person has yisurim on some part of his body or some part of his life, whatever, he should be mefashbeish b'maisav, maybe he sinned in that area. Pishbeish v'leimotz, in that area, yitla b'bitl ter, even though it doesn't seem to be mida keneged mida, bitl ter is in the mind, in the mouth, whatever. What has it got to do? How come his knee hurts? So the answer is that Torah is keneged kol haguf. Torah is keneged kol haguf. So whatever part of his body will be suffering, he has a right to be told that the Torah. It's not that pish pish v'lay motzah, he's a tzadik gomer, he's never mevatel Torah. He is mevatel Torah. But he didn't see why his leg's hurting should have a shaychas to do with the bittul Torah. So that's what the Gemara says. Nonetheless, the oven of bittul Torah will be considered, a punishment will be considered mida keneged mida, any part of the body. And he quotes the Rav Chaim Balojan has in the Sefer Nefesh HaChaim, and he has the whole section about the importance of learning Torah. He quotes the Gemara in Erevin, where the Gemara says if achash berosho yasik b'Torah, if a person has a headache, so he is, maybe it's a punishment because he wasn't using his head for learning. But let's say his foot hurts. So what has it got to do with learning? So the Gemara says, no, chash b'chol gufa yasik b'Torah. Because the punishment for bittul Torah doesn't have to be mida keneged mida, dafka on the head, dafka on the hands that pick up the Gemara and turn the pages. It can be any part of the body. So that's a famous interpretation on this Gemara. Fish b'shul l'matzah yit b'bittul Torah. How can it be? So he says, it doesn't have to be mida keneged mida on the same aver. Let's see, where we leave off, we were discussing Gemara Bava on the base, about being Mesameach Chos and Kala, the three HaMesamcho. The HaMesamcho, if one is Mesameach, the Chos Kala Maschar, so the Gemara had the three suggestions, Zecher V'Torah, and it's considered Kilo Hikiv Korban Toida, and the third suggestion was that Kilo Banachur V'Achas Mechubi Yishlam. So we gave an interpretation in the Gemara. Then the Gemara continues, a lot of Agarate here, the Gemara continues, what does it mean? Usually, I saw in the Ben Yehoyada. I don't know. So I have two different svarim. One is Ben Yehoyahu, one is Ben Yehoyada. I don't know exactly what the difference is between the two yet. I have to look in the Hagdamah. So in the first one, in the Ben Yehoyahu, he gives a suggestion on the Gemara that usually we assume Chachmas Amiskein Bizuya. Usually, people think that the wealthy Balabatim became wealthy because of their genius. So they always ask advice from the wealthy people. They think that the poor people are stupid. That's why they're still poor. So usually it was sim chachmas hamiskem vizuya. But the Gemara says over here, kol adam sheyesh bo yerushamayim dvar bnei shamayim. Despite the fact that he's not wealthy at all, the oilam will not say chachmas hamiskem vizuya. If the person is really a yerei shamayim, so people will ask him etzes. They were tzaddikim in every generation. They asked the Chafetz Chaim etzes, they asked the Chazanish etzes, they asked tzaddikim. Tzaddikim are never wealthy. So that's what the Gemara says, that the rule doesn't apply. Chochmas HaMiskim Mizuya doesn't apply to a person who has true Yirah Shemayim. Zav Dava called Nishma Yisar Lekim Yirah. What does mean Kizek Kol HaAdam? What does mean Kizek Kol HaAdam? So the Pashup Shat is that's the essence of man, is that a person should be a Yirei Shamayim. That's the most important aspect of humanity, that a person should be a Yirei Shamayim. The Gemara gives different interpretations. I don't know why the Gemara found the pasuk difficult. Is that called Adam? That's the essence of man. So the Gemara gives other interpretations. Amar Rav Lozer, Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu Olam Kula Nivra LeBishvil Zeh. This is, the whole world was created because of this person. That's what the Briska Rav in the first piece on Chumash quotes from the Rambam and Hakdamah to the Pirush HaMishnayos, that he says that the Ribbono Shel Olam created the world for Adam Arishon, for one person. If you have one person who's a tzaddik, so it's kedai to make a whole world. So what did he need so many human beings for? There's only one person. The other people, the one person is going to have to plow and plant and harvest it. He's going to have to produce the food and make the clothing and have every. He's going to have to do all the work on his own. He's going to have the children and raise the children. How can he do that? So you have to have a whole world to help him out. But Esel Eizek Kenegdo, he needs an Eizek Kenegdo. But really, the whole world is created for. It's worth it to create the whole world for one purpose. For the purpose on one side. The Rambam gives a mashal that an Arab sheikh built a palace in the middle of the desert. And what they do in the palace, they used to have a nightclub, and they used to have dancers there. They used to have a casino, whatever. They were gambling and dancing and frolicking and partying all the time. So the whole purpose of the whole building of the thing was a waste. It didn't accomplish anything. And then there was a scholar who was traveling in the desert, and he was tired and hungry, and one day he was, as he was traveling, so he decided to take a nap in the shade of the building. The sun was on the other side, and he was resting in the shade. So the whole building that was put up had a tachlis. It was used for to help this scholar relax in the shade. So too, the whole world was created for one tzaddik. Sometimes hard to tell who the one side is. So the Gemara says over here, the person who has the Yirei Shamayim, is that called Adam? The whole creation of the whole world was Kedai, Bishvil Zeh, for the one person who's the Yirei Shamayim. Rababa Barkana gives a different interpretation, Kizek Kol Adam. Shokul Zeh Keneged Kol Olam Kulay. Kizek Kol Adam. This person is as important as all of the rest of humanity. The Gemara has a lashon, Shokul Moshe Keneged Shishim Ribo Meisod. Moshe Rabbeinu was so great. He was as important as the rest of the Klal Yisrael. So the Gemara says, if you have a person who's a true Yirei Shamayim, Yishokol Keneged Kol Olam Kulo, he's as important as the rest of humanity. So the Gemara says, the third one says, Kimat the same as the first one. Kol Olam Kulo Nivel Eletzvas Lozeh. The rest of the world was only created as an Ezer Kenegda for the one Tzaddik. That was the first Mandama said like that. Kol Olam Kulo Nivel Eletzvas Lozeh. The whole world was created for the one Yirei Shamayim. Kizeh Kol Adam. Then the Gemara speaks about the importance of greeting people. When you see someone, you got to say, good morning. You have to greet them nicely. And then the Gemara says, if someone greets you, and you don't greet back, so that's Gizela. Imba Hechselo, Nikra Gazlon, because the Pasuk talks, Yishaya Navi talks about Gizela Sa'ani Bevatechem. What is it to steal from the poor man? It has nothing to steal. You steal from rich people. It's foolish to steal from the poor people. The answer is, you steal the Shalom Aleichem. He expects you to greet him first, or to answer him back, Shalom Aleichem, good Shabbos. You don't greet him back, that's considered an act of Gzela. Then the Gemara quotes the Ribbono Shel Olam Davens, we discussed a very difficult one, the Ribbono Shel Olam Davens. Then the Gemara says on the second wide line, after the narrow lines, Amar Rav Yechon HaMishum Rav Yosi, quotes the name, Amar Rav Yechon HaMishum, if he would say Amar Rav Yechon and Amar Rav Yosi, means that he heard it directly. Amar Rav Yudah Amar Rav, Amar Rav Yudah HaMishum means he heard it directly. Amar Rav Yechon HaMishum means that he didn't hear him directly from Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi was a Tana way before. Rabbi Yechon was a student of Rabbi Yudah HaNasi. He didn't hear directly. The Gemara will often have Amar Rav Yechon HaMishum Rav Shimon Vayichoy. Gemara has later. So Rashi always says Mishum means that he didn't hear directly from him. So here it's Rabbi Yechon a quote to the name of Rabbi Yossi. When the person is very angry, so you don't try to calm him down. Then you have to wait first a while. Wait till he calms down, and then you mefaris him. And on the base, the Gemara quotes the exact same memory here, 8-9 lines from the top. The same pasuk, and here he quotes the name Rabbi Shimon Vayichoy Mishum, and there he quotes the name Rabbi Yossi. It's a problem. So they're both true. They both said it. So why does the Gemara quote it twice on the same daf? It's a problem. in the Aramid base, they're quoting a series of memories that Rabbi Yechanan said, and then Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai. So they put this together with the other memories. And Aramid Aleph, they're quoting, are they quoting a series of memories that he says, name Rabbi Yosef? I don't know. It's a problem. So the Gemara says, the Rabbanu Shlom gets angry. The Gemara says, is there such a thing? The Gemara, Mi Karischa Kami, the good Shabricha, is there such a thing that the Rabbanu Shlom gets angry? The Gemara says, yes. As it says in Tilim, he kills Zoraim Bechol Yom. The Rabbanu Shlom gets angry every day. How much of the day, the 24 hours in the day, how much of the day? Rega, a minute. How long is a minute? Sabayas, a minute is 60 seconds. You have a whole system, 60 minutes in an hour and 24 hours in a day. And Kama Rega, the Gemara says, a Rega doesn't mean a 60th of a minute. What is it? Echad. The Chameshes Ribo Yishmoina Salafim Mishmona Meos Yishmona Mishmona Bishor. 1/58,888. And on the side they have a suggested girsa. The Yosef Nochon Limcho Karibo Klal, the Ligris, it should say 8,888. Shemechuvin Keneged Psuke Hator. I don't know, I looked in the end of a Chumash this morning. My Chumash doesn't say that. It doesn't say that. It has a different number. It doesn't say 8,000. It says 5,000, some odd number. It doesn't say 8,888. I don't know what that means. Anyway, the Gemara says a split second. The Baruch Shalom gets angry for a very short period of time every day. What is that supposed to mean? I don't know, but Allah the Bidrachim teaches us we should also get angry a little bit. I don't know. We shouldn't be calm about everything. We're supposed to get angry? I don't know what it means.
Psychologists would say that. Yes. Should,
you have to have an outlet for your anger. Okay, maybe. But it should be very brief. It should be less than a second, Hastings. And it should be at a time that no one even realizes that. Morris says, no one knows. No one can figure out when that split second is. Chutz mi Bilam HaRosha, Davis is whole. V'yadeh da'as elyon. Bilam HaRosha's chachma was, what did he know, the different aspects to know about Elokus? He knew... when to figure out when the Ribbono Shel is angry, and he wanted to curse Bnei Yisrael. And he wanted to curse Bnei Yisrael at that split second. So Tosis has the famous kasha of Yimtaima, the top Tosis. If it's only a split second, how can you pronounce a curse? You have to have at least a half a minute to say something to curse the people. So Tosis gives two answers. The one answer is that he could have said Kalei, quickly. In Hebrew, you can have a lot of words combined together. Kalein is one word with two syllables, and it has a whole sentence in it. And then Tosin says, Inami, another answer. The rules are, if you start the curse in the middle of that split second, then the curse will take effect even if you finish pronouncing the curse at a later time. So one would have assumed that this Tosis is irrelevant halacha l'maaseh, this has to do with cursing people. So some of the Achrayim quotes from this Tosis that when there's a din of sozman kriyashma, sozman tefila, as long as you begin to say kriyashma within the zman, even though you continue after the zman, that's okay. That's what Tosis says. Nachashay maschel b'toch hazman is good to finish afterwards. Rabbi Yosef Engel writes such an idea, or Hashulchan writes such an idea. Someone once mentioned it to Rav Soloveitchik, so he just burst out into laughter when he told him this Tosis. So he didn't even want to respond to it. He thought it was just a joke. He didn't think that anyone would take that seriously. But some Achrayim did take it seriously. Okay. So then the Gemara says, the Ribbono Shel Olam demonstrated his love towards Bnei Yisrael, v'hayinu tukamu l'nov Yisrael. Ami, zchor na mayuat bolok, melech moyov. L'man das tzidkas Hashem. What was it, tzidkas Hashem? All the days that Bilam and Balak were negotiating day after day, they wanted to curse Bnei Yisrael, the Baruch Shalom didn't get angry at all during that period of time. How long is the period of time? Rega. How long is Rega? The first thing, Gemara already said how long Rega is. 1/58,888, 1/1 hour. A 1/8,800, whatever the Gemara says from before. So now the Gemara says, how long is the Rega? Rega can mean re, the amount of time that it takes to pronounce the word rega. What kind of a shir is that? The shear for kas, is that the smallest amount of time that the halacha, this is not a halacha, is that the smallest amount of time that the halacha recognizes? No. The smallest amount of time is terke de dibu, which is longer than rega. Kemem rei. Rega kemem rei, the amount of time that it takes to pronounce the word rega. Mem rei means to pronounce. The amount of time that it takes to pronounce it. We have a din of ein isa chal al isa. But if it's an isa basachas, then the two isur machal basachas. So what happens if the second isa was chal a second after the first isa? I know for sure they were chal bezachas there, but it was mamish techa de dibur of each other. So there's a Tosfos Yishanim in Yevamos where the Tosfos Yishanim says from the Gemara would appear that that's called an isa basachas. Gemara talks about a koyin who's both a balmum and a tomei who's makor karbonis in the Beis Hamikdash. So there's an aveira. There's an isa for a koyin balmum to be makriv karbonis. There's an isa for a koyin tomei to be makriv karbonis. What if he's both a koyin tomei and a balmum? So he's over on both isur. So the Gemara says, but whichever one came first, at first he became a balmum and then he becomes a tomei. So it should be a isa chalal isa. At first he became a tomei, then he became a balmum. I should say an isa chalal isa in that direction. So how do you have a case that he's in violation of both? The Gemara says kigon, he was a koyin tohor. And he has a very sharp knife, and accidentally, on purpose, whatever, someone cut off his thumb with the tummy digger knife. So when the knife touches his finger, it becomes tummy tumas maga, and then the knife is so sharp it cuts off his thumb. So then it becomes a balmum. So the Gemara says it happens bevasacha, so it's an isa basacha. So not called an isa chalalisa, it's chal bevasacha. So the Tosfos Yishanim in the tiny letters on the side of the Gemara is bothered with the kasha. How's that bevasachas when it's finger touches the knife, it becomes tummy right away before it begins to do the cutting. And then it takes another while till it cuts. True, it's a short period of time. But later on, it cuts off the thumb. So the tuma is chal when he touches the knife. And the balmum, it becomes after the knife succeeds in cutting off the thumb. So how is that called an isa basachas? So Tosfos answers that since it's such a short period of time, that's called basachas. It means the halacha doesn't recognize such a short period of time. That's considered as if the two things happen simultaneously. It's not considered bizarre chazer. Chazer doesn't explain. The problem means terke de dibur. That's the Gemara in the end of Nedarim. The Gemara talks about terke de dibur kedibur domi. So a normal case of terke de dibur kedibur domi, a person accepts upon himself a neder of a shvua, then he backs out terke de dibur. So you can back out from what you said, terke de dibur. Gemara says, I make a kinyan and I back out, terke de dibur. Git mi kiddushin, I get married and I back out, terke de dibur, cannot back out. I give a get to my wife, the Gemara says, git mi kiddushin, cannot back out, terke de dibur. But in Bekir Hamemka, in other areas, a person gives a Haggadah Seder, so the Gemara says, in Ksubis, in Eilat Iris, the Eidim can back out, even though there's a rule of Kimashig, and Shubin HaChayzah Magad, the Eid cannot back out from what he said. If he backs out, terke de dibur, it's considered as if he's saying everything simultaneously, and what he said the second time, he backs up from what he said the first time. It's not called kima shehigit. He didn't finish the Haggadah Seder yet. It's terke de dibur. So all those we understand more or less terke de dibur. But then Gemar has a mechudish digadin. A person goes to visit a relative who is in the throes of death, and the one is mevakar chela thought that the relative died already, so he rips kriya. And then the relative dies. After he finishes rip kriya, then the relative dies. So the Gemara says, "Ayu yotzei edoy chayvas kriya." You rip kriya while the patient was still alive. So the Gemara says, "If he dies terke de dibur, then you yotzei. And if it takes him more than kedei dibur to die, then you're not yotzei." So how can that be? It doesn't make any sense. What do you mean? He ripped kriya before the person died. So you see from the Gemara that terke de dibur is considered bevasachas. That the smallest amount of time you can keep on splitting shorter and shorter. A minute has 60 seconds. Every second you can cut into 60 parts, and every 60th you can cut right into 60 parts. You can cut it into halakim and halakim of halakim. So you see, the halacha doesn't recognize a unit of time that's smaller than terke de dibur. That's probably the pshat in that thesis in Yevamos. And daf, where is it? Lama Gimel, Lama Dalet, where the Gemara says, okay. Take my word for it. There is a Tyson in Yevamos. The Tyson says that that's considered Issa Basachas. That's ignored. Okay. That's considered Issa Basachas. So what's the pshat over here? That the Gemara says, Rega Kimem Re. A split second, the amount of time that it takes to pronounce the word Rega, Well, that's the alpidin, the smallest amount of time. It's not. The halacha doesn't recognize such a small amount of time. For kas, I mean. That's the shir for kas. Okay. The kas is even, the Rebbe Shlom doesn't even have a chatzi shir. He gets angry so little of the day, such a small amount of time. It's less than, much less than Terkadigi. That's why it's very strange. The Kozhaglover has, the Kozhaglover was killed by the Nazis in the Warsaw Ghetto. He was a Rav in Kozhaglov in the First World War, and then after the First World War, there was no more Kozhaglov, and then when the Lublina Rav, Rav Meirel Shapira, founded the Lublina Yeshiva, so he invited him to give a shir in the Yeshiva. They dedicated the fifth floor in the library to the Kozhaglov. His brother gave money to YU. I guess he must have been a Torah Mada man. So they have his picture hanging in the library next to the elevators. Kozhaglov's picture with a full beard. So he has his tshuva sefer is called Eretz Tzvi. So he has a discussion of how are Kohanim permitted to go in airplanes? Doesn't the airplane go over a cemetery? So Kohanim is not allowed to be metamei levayos. So he gives six tzedadim lahakel. I didn't appreciate any of the six. I didn't think any of them made any sense. So I wrote an essay on the same topic. I gave some other suggestions. Other people think that what I have to say doesn't make any sense. The question is better than the answer. How is the Kohen allowed to go in an airplane? The airplane is going to go over a cemetery. So he quotes our Gemara. So he says, Rege kememre, a split second, the smallest amount of time that Halacha recognizes is the amount of time that it takes to pronounce the word Rege, mapito, the smallest amount of time to talk to, but it's not that Rege is smaller than that. Rege is smaller than that. So he says, if a Kohen Yeshoya beveis hatuma, if I touch a mace and I run away, so I touch the mace. He was talking, I didn't touch a mace. I was mahil on top of the mace. How long do you have to be mahil on top of the mace that it should be a violation has to be at least the amount of time that it takes to pronounce the word regas. Since the airplane is flying so quickly, so I'm going over the mace, less than a split second, a tenth of a second, so that doesn't count. I didn't think that was... I didn't think it made any sense. Just to derive halacha from the word rege kememre, that this is the smallest amount of time that halacha recognizes, I don't think it's true. The Gemara says, where do you get this idea from, that the Rabban Shalom is koyes? So the Gemara says, the other pasuk says, in Tilim, kel zayim b'chol yotim, one quotes over here, but how do you know that it's only rege? In all of the rege rasa. So the Gemara quotes two pasukim, one pasuk from Tilim, one pasuk from Yishai. Chubi kemat rege ad yavazam, the other pasuk, Kirega biyapo chayim ritzoyim. The Gemara tells a story that there was a tzeduki who lived in the neighborhood of Rabbi Shimon Levi. He used to, Rabbi, the tzeduki.
Is the svara of the Kozhaglov right that there's a shear for a tumah being for a kohen to be mekabel tumah?
I didn't think the whole thing made any sense.
Even if you assume tochei dibur is the lesson.
Yeah.
But even if they're there for less than tochei dibur, they should still be.
I would think if he touches the mace, he's zayver. Even if he touched, so if he's mahal and dalam mesh, also, why should it make a difference how long he's mahal?
Then certainly, one of the guy jumps. The jump is also less than a rega. You jump over a cat.
Yeah.
What's less than a rega? Less than saying the word rega.
I mean, so it's good. That's it. It's there. It's you're going through. You're not going through it. The tunnel's making a big corridor,
you're
going through
to be in that. I don't know. He gives six suggestions. I didn't like any. So one of them is based on.
Where's your essay on this?
Where is my essay?
Yeah.
Big fat song. So the Gemara tells this story that Tzedukim, probably were the early Christians, at least have Christological interpretations of Psukim and Tanakh, like they have Ad HaYom HaZeh. So Rabbi Shlomo Levi was a scholar, he was a Torah scholar, he didn't know from this Tanakh business. So they used to give him a hard time. The Apikoras, the Christians, used to give Rabbi Shlomo Levi a hard time. So one day he decided he's going to curse the Tzedukim, he should drop dead. So in order that the curse should take effect, so he has to have this chicken. He has to get a rooster, and watch when the cock on top turns completely white and it doesn't have any red streaks in it, that's the rega kememre, that's when the Rabban Shalom is angry, and if you curse someone then the curse is going to take effect. So he had this rooster next to his bed, and he kept on staring at the rooster, and he's ready to curse the tzedukah, and then he fell asleep. How long can you stare at a rooster? So he fell asleep in the middle, he missed his chance to curse. So then he realized it's min hashemayim. Shema mino, it's min hashemayim. La baruch ha'olam eved hachi. It's not derech eretz to curse the other guy. The Rebbeinu shel olam should give him a punishment. He deserves a punishment, but it shouldn't be because of me. First of all, it says v'racham aval kol ma'asov. Sof kol sof, he is a human being, even though he gives me a hard time. And then secondly, gamano shel tzadik lo tov. I shouldn't be the one to pray that he should be punished. The guy deserves to be punished. Let him be punished because of someone else, not because of me. That's what we say in the Kriyash Ma'alamit every night. I don't want to be the one responsible for the punishment. Let him get a punishment for someone else. I don't have to be the one. So that's when Rishon Levi realized that his whole plan in the first place was not a proper plan. Why does the Baruch Shalom get so angry in the Gimel Shos Rishonis Bayom? What's it? This is Man Kriyashma. What happened during this Man Kriyashma? No, it has nothing to do with Kriyashma. The Gemara says because that's when the Malchi Mizruch Amara of all the Yavdei Avodah Zarah, worshipping Avodah Zarah. They put the crowns on their heads and then the Mishtachim Lachama. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Toyes for a Rega. So that's that Rega is when a curse can take effect. But we shouldn't try to figure out when the Rega is because it's not La Baruch Hu, it's not Derech Eretz. Then the Gemara has all the agaritas. Moshe Rabbeinu made three requests of the Ribbono Shel Olam that he should give his Ashuas Hashchina on the Jewish people. That request was granted. Halo Balechtech Imon. The second request, Shelo Tishu Hashchina Alav Dekechavim. B'Nasan La Kadosh Baruch Hu granted that request. The request was B'Nitlinu Anivi Amech. Aplaya is discrimination. Only B'nai Yisrael should have the Ashuas Hashchina, not the Umasar. Then he asked, Hodiyeinu Nozer Achecho. So he wants to know Tzadik V'Rabba Rasha V'Tavli. He doesn't understand. It's the whole world looks as if the Ribbono Shel Olam is not in control. If the Ribbono Shel Olam is a good God and he knows what's happening, has control, how does he allow all these things to happen? So the Ribbono Shel Olam gave him an answer. So the Gemara says all the three questions were answered and all the three requests of Moshe Rabbeinu were answered. Then the Gemara says, Pliga the Rav Meir. The Gemara has 10 lines later. This member of Rabbi Yochanan in the name of Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yossi is the Chatana. Rabbi Yechanan quotes in the name of Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yudi, Rabbi Shimon, they were all contemporaries. Rabbi Yechanan says in the name of Rabbi Yossi, the three requests of Moshe Rabbeinu, all three were granted, and the third request was Hadiyeinu Noz Derechecho. Explain to me what's going on with Tzadik Rabba, Rosh V'Tayvloi. So that is Pliga de Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir says that the third request was never granted. He asked him, Shtayim Nosnolo, the two requests we should have, Ashuas Hashchina, and Yom HaSoyim should not have, in Iflinu. The Jewish people should be differentiated between Klal Yisrael and Umas Olam. Those two requests were granted. The third one was not granted. Ribbono Shel Olam said, "V'chanos yes asher rochon, v'richamti yes asher la'rachem, afal pishenu hobin." But he didn't explain to him Tzadik V'Ra'alo Rosh V'Tavlo. We don't understand. It seems to us to be afal pishenu hobin. Seems to us as if it's Afal Pi Shein Olam. That's the Gemara in Chulin on Daf Samach on Beis, and the Agadita in Perek Eved Treifas. So the Gemara says the Ribbono Shel Olam, the Levana has a complaint against the Ribbono Shel Olam al Shemiyat Tzayareach. Originally there was Shnei Hamoras Hagdolim, and then all of a sudden it changed. The same pasuk, all of a sudden it changed. Hamora Hagdol Memshalas Hayam, Hamora Hakotl Memshalas Halayla. How did it become Hamora Hakotl if it originally started off Shnei Hamoras Hagdolim? So the Gemara says that the Levana came to complain to the Ribbono Shel Olam that it's not fair. Ein shnei melachim mishtamshim b'keser echad. There's going to be jealousy, and he shouldn't leave. The Ribbono Shel Olam shouldn't leave the system the way it is. They should be shnei maris hagdel. So the Ribbono Shel Olam said, "Okay, l'chi yamati asatzmech, you become smaller." So the Levana complains to the whole world, "Why did they punish me? Why did they punish the Levana? We know why, because the Levana wanted to minimize the Chama. The Levana came to complain, but people don't know the whole background of the story. So it looks as if the Levana is totally innocent, started off with Shnei Amaris HaGdolim, and then was punished for no good reason. Nebuchad Tzadik V'Ralo. The answer is Anishkin Tzadik. But we don't see that. We just see the end of the story. We don't see the background that the Gemara gives you. So the Levana is complaining to the whole wide world that it's not fair that they punished me. I didn't do anything wrong. So the Ribbono Shel Olam says, okay, Amar Shchaydish, they should bring a Sori L'Hashem, a Chatos L'Hashem. Haviu Alay Kachora, Al Shemiyat Tiyus Hayareh. The Ribbono Shel Olam says, okay, I can't explain it to you. I sin. It looks as if I sin the way I run the world, as if it's Tzadik V'Ra'alo Rosh V'Tovlo. So if he should ask him that you can't understand, I have no way to explain to you how I'm running the world, that's what Rameh says. The Rabban Shalom can't explain. It looks like Afal Pi Sheinu Hogam. It looks like the Rabban Shalom is in violation of this fairness. So that's what Rabban Shalom says. Kifi Hasa Gaschem, that I'm sitting, I'll be all like a par. But the truth of the matter is that the Rabban Shalom has a cheshmer. We don't understand it. If we would have the from our perspective, it looks like there's evil in the world. From the Rabban Shalom's perspective, apparently there's no evil. Then the Gemara has a machlokes how to understand the story. When the Rabban Shalom appeared to Moshe Rabbeinu by the snare, the Moshe Rabbeinu recoiled. Vayasta Moshe Panov, ki yore mehabit elhu alakim. So did he do the right thing or did he do wrong? So the first opinion of the Gemara is that he did wrong. Kishani ratzisi, atola ratzisi. I wanted to appear to you and you ran away. Achshah shata ratzani and then he writes it. And then the Gemara quotes the second opinion. Pligid Rab Shmuel ben Achmeni Amar Rabbi Yonasan. He quotes the name Rabbi Yonasan. Other Rabbi, Moshe Rabbeinu was rewarded for hiding from the snare. Derech Eretz dictates that you should not stare at the snare. Ki yarei mehabit elhu elokim. There was a hashuas hashchina there, so it's not right to stare. So it's a machlokes whether he did he acted properly or improperly. Was he rewarded or was he punished because of that? The Gemara has this mysterious comment of Hasiris, his cup of Risa Sachorai. You can't see God in the face, but you can see from behind. What do you mean if you see from behind? What does that mean? So Radav Salavechik had a comment on the Gemara Menachos. We mentioned part of it a couple of days ago. The Gemara says the Rebbeinu Shalom showed several things to Moshe Rabbeinu. He showed him the Zalachem Atomei, the kosher shvatzim and the non-kosher shvatzim. He showed him the Levana, because they're Reve Kadesh. Showed him a menorah shaleish. Showed him what the menorah is supposed to look like. Machzis HaShekel, he showed various things. And here the Gemara says that he showed him the Kesher Shaltfilm. So Ravello Soloveitchik interprets that each case when HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed him, why do you have to show him? You should have told him what the dinim are. The din is X, Y, Z, and Shvartik. Why do you have to demonstrate? It's important. For little children, you have to draw on the blackboard. For adults, you don't have to draw on the blackboard. So the answer is, Ravello says that sometimes the halacha depends on what it looks like. Sometimes the halacha depends on what it really is. So then you say the halacha is, if it's this, it's kosher. If it's that, it's straight. Sometimes you have to draw a picture and show the bird, and they say, if it looks like this, then it's kosher, even though it really isn't that. It doesn't depend on what it actually is, it depends on what it looks like. So that's why we explained it, I think. That the Rambam in the beginning of Hilchos Macholos Asuras quotes the Gemara, Ochol Putisa Leka Arba, Nimolo Leka Chomish, Tzira Leka Shesh, that there is some non kosher fish that you get six times Malkus on. So the Rambam says you don't get. The Rambam stands out from Rashi, Tosus, the Ramban, all the Gurdim. Everybody says when you have a kefil alav, when you have a pasuk repeated in the chumash several times, you're not allowed to eat a sheretz. If it says it five times, you get five times malchus. And the Rambam insists that it's not so. He reinterprets the whole Gemara. He says there is no such thing. A kefil alav is only for emphasis, and you don't count that as more than one mitzvah in the minyan. Mitzvahs, you don't give many times malchus. So the So how does he interpret the Gemara? The Gemara says if you eat certain non-kosher fish, you get six times malchus. So the Rambam interprets that if it's a sheretz ha'of, if it's a non-kosher fowl, so there's one malchus on that, there's one lav. And if it's a non-kosher animal from the dry land, it's one malchus. One non-kosher animal from the sea is one malchus. And if it grows on the ground and it flies, and it swims also, all three, then you get Malkus three times. So the Rabbit is masking on the Rambam. He makes fun, he says, Hama'asif haseh also dvarim she'eno. The Rambam is a collector, and he collects everything, collects things that don't exist. No such animal exists. That it swims, and it flies, and it crawls on the ground. So what's the kasha? What do you mean? The Rabbit knows that such an animal doesn't exist. But Adavala said, no, the Rabbit's kasha was that al pi halacha, we should ask an expert. We should ask a biologist, is this basically a sea animal? Or is it basically a fowl that flies? Or is it basically an animal that crawls on the ground? You have to make up your mind. How come that's the Hasag on the Rambam. How come the Rambam say that you get Malkus So sheretz ha'oif and sheretz ha'mayim and sheretz ha'oretz, on one sheretz, it's one balchai. Which is it? So Rav Avla said, he thinks maybe that's the teretz on the Ram. Why does it say, b'zalachem ha'tomei, that the Rebbe Shlom shows Moshe Rabbeinu, Moshe Rabbeinu shows it to the Nesor? Should have said bal peh d'divin. The answer is, it depends on what it looks like. It does depend on what it actually is. So what it actually is, takeh, it's either a fowl, or it's a sea animal, or it's an animal from the dry land. You have to make up your mind. That's not all three at the same time. But since it looks like it's all three, that's what the Raibid indicates. It swims a little bit, so that does make it into a Sheretz HaMayim. It looks like it's swimming, so the Raibid said it does make it into a Sheretz HaMayim. So the Rambam apparently thinks, even though biologically it cannot be labeled as all three, it's either belonging to category A, B, or C, but since it looks like it's all three, so it depends on what it looks like. So that's what he said over here, and all he's didn't. By the Menorah, it says, Moshe Rabbeinu was in this kasha, Asiyas HaMenorah, he didn't know how to do it. It was so complicated with the Kaftorim, Afrochim, and the Gevim. So he threw the whole gold into the fire, and Teyasa HaMenorah Me'leho, Nasis Me'leho. So Rav Avla asked, why was it so difficult to make the Menorah? The Chashmonai made the Menorah. The Chashmonai made the menorah because they had seen the menorah. So Moshe Rabbeinu also saw. He had a vision of the menorah. The Gemara says HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed Moshe Rabbeinu Zeh Maisa HaMenorah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed him a menorah shaleish. So why was it so difficult? He should make it the same way he saw it in the movies, same way he saw in the vision. The answer is there was a special Hayra Shah in the days of Moshe Rabbeinu that the menorah has to be exactly the way he saw it. It wouldn't be acceptable if it just had Kaftarim Gavim Mefrochim the way it's inscribed in the Chumash. It has to be Kamarasha Haresa Bahar. So that was hard for him. He couldn't remember exactly Kamarasha Haresa Bahar. So that he needed a nest for. He threw it into the fire and it happened by itself. So Rav Avla suggests maybe over here also. Malama Sheher HaKadosh Baruch Hu Moshe Kesha Shol Tfilin is the Farev Vetesis Kasha and Rashi on Vav Omer Aleph. The Rashi says the Kesha Shol Tfilin is Allah Moshe Misinai. So what does Rashi do with the Gemara and Be'me Madlikim? The Gemara says that it's not. So Rav Avla says no. The Kesher has to be Betzuras Dalet, and the Kesher has to be Betzuras Yud. That's the Loshon HaRambam. Should be a Kesher Betzuras Dalet. What does it mean? It's not actually a Dalet. So since it's not actually an Oath, so it's not covered with the Dinim and Toras Hashem Beficha Ben Amut Beficha. It's not really Toras Hashem. It's not an Oath. But it has to be Betzuras Oath. So that's why the Ribbono Shel Olam showed it to Moshe Rabbeinu. He didn't say make a dalet. He showed it to him that it should look like this. It happens that the thing that he showed him happened to be a tzuras dalet.
Doesn't the Rambam also say this tzuras shin by the shin of the Shel Rosh, which is an os?
Yeah. No, the shin is an os.
Yeah, but the Rambam uses the same
tzuras os
for that also.
So the diuk is not a valid diuk. So strong title. Yes. Then the Gemara says that the word Rabim has the connotation of Shishim Ribo. How do you know? Because it says, B'nei Sol Por Vayishu Tzu Vayirbu. So the word Vayirbu meant Shishim Ribo. So here when it says that Moshe Rabbeinu is one of his children, B'nei Rechavya Rabu Lamayla, means that he had Shishim Ribo descendants. I don't think it means during his lifetime. How can he have this? Physically impossible. How Shishim Ribo during his lifetime? It means by the time the Sefer Divrei Hayamim was written. That's what it means. By the time Divrei Hayamim was composed, so from that son of Moshe Rabbeinu, Yehu b'nei Eliezer, Moshe Rabbeinu had two sons, Gershom and Eliezer. So the son Eliezer had a son, Rechavya, and b'nei Rechavya Rabbi Lamailo. From Rechavya's descendants, by the time the Divrei Hayamim was composed, he already had Shishim Riba. So the Gemara understands that the connotation of the word Rabu is Shishim Riba. That's where the Achreidim said, that's where the Rishonim got the idea from, that in order to be a Rishus HaRabim Derais, you have to have Shishim Riba. Because the word Rabim has the mashmoes. That's how the Gemara says. The word Rabim has the mashmoes of Shishim Ribo. Then the Gemara says, till the days of Avraham Avinu, the people believed in God, but they didn't believe that the Ribbono Shel Olam gave a hashgacha pratis, that he's watching what people do, and he gives reward and punishment. And Avraham Avinu was the one who discovered, not that he discovered the existence of the Ribbono Shel Olam. He calls HaKadosh Baruch Hu Adon, that he's still running the world. He's still the Balabos. Not just that he created the world and it's beneath his dignity to run the world. No, he's still running the world. So that was the discovery of Avraham Avinu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Yadon, that he's still in control of the world. Very strange. The Gemara says, till the days of Leah, no one thanked HaKadosh Baruch Hu. No one expressed gratitude. Hapam Odes Hashem. She was the first one who expressed gratitude to the Rebbe Shmuel. Very strange. Hazeh Shteitni Gemara. Then the Gemara is interpreting what the name Reuven means. What do you mean with the Gemara is interpreting? It says in the Chumash, Kiro Hashem Bion Yi. Was the Gemara giving a different explanation? So they quote from the Vilna Goyen that by the other names of the Shvatim, it gives the reason first, and then it says that they called the name. Here it says she gave the name Reuven, and then it says the reason afterwards. Apparently she gave the name Reuven for a different reason. And then the secondary reason is mentioned in the Chumash, Kira Hashem Beyond You. So what was the first reason? So the Chumash never says. So the Gemara says, Reuven means Ruman Ben Bnei Leben Chami. That my son is a tzaddik as opposed to my brother-in-law Esav. He's not a nice fellow. That Esav sold the Bchorah to my husband Yaakov. And he made such a stink. Esav as Yaakov. He agreed to sell him the Bechorah. And he made a whole stink about it. And my son, Reuven, even though the Bechorah was taken away from him, Bal Korcha, he didn't agree to it. He sinned. And he was punished, and he was mekabel the punishment. And he was not jealous of his brother Yosef. He tried to save Yosef. So that was the initial kavana in the name Reuven, Ruma Ben Bnei Leben Chami. Look at the difference between my son and my brother-in-law, Esau.
When he was born, he didn't do any of those things.
Yeah. Apparently, Gemara assumed that she had Ruach HaKodesh. Gemara assumes that the name was given Ruach HaKodesh Al Shem Ha'asid. I don't know. The Gemara interprets what's the meaning of the name Ruas Sheri Veihu HaKodesh Bochel B'Shivus V'Sish Bochus. Like Koisi Revoya overflowing. Rabban HaMelech composed so many beautiful Tehillim, Shiris V'Sishbachais, and he was a descendant of Rus HaMoaviyah, so that's what the word Rus means. Yeah. The Gemara says, and who gives us the right to darshan the names, that the name plays a role, the name that the parents give plays a role? The Gemara says, yeah. Hashasam Shamas Boretz, Altikri Shamas HaLashemis, that the names that you give a baby will affect the future of the person. The Gemara talks about Atana Shimon ben Avi Shalom. What kind of a name is that? Avshalom was the son of David HaMelech who made the rebellion against the father. So it says on the side, Ayin Tesis Yuma, Daf Lamed Ches. The Gemara comments there on the pasuk Shem Rishayim Yirkav, that the name of the Rasha should be cursed. Shem Rishayim Yirkav is the same as Yikov. The Resh is an extra Resh. Sometimes in English you stick in an extra R, no? Aren't there words? Well, people put in certain dialects, they put in an extra R. So in Tanakh, a lot of times, every so often, you have an extra R. Shem Hashem Yirkav doesn't mean it should rot away. Shem Hashem Yikov should be cursed. Zecher Tzadik Livracha, blessing. Shem Hashem, it's one passage. Shem Hashem Yirkav means Yikov should be cursed. So the Gemara says, in what way do we curse the name of the Rosha? The Lord Maskin and Bishmah. You're not allowed to give a baby a name that was held by an Adam Rosha. We don't give after Hitler killed so many Jews, so we don't give a Jewish baby a name Adolf. Before Hitler came on the scene, there are nice Jewish people with the name Adolf, and now you don't give such a name because it's reminiscent of the Russia. So Tyson says, how can you give a name Avshalom? Avshalom was the son who made the rebellion against the father. So Tyson says the Gerson must be Avishalom. Avishalom, that's a peaceful name, but it can't be that they gave a name Avshalom. Okay, so the Gemara quotes. The Gemara quotes Reb Shimon ben Avi Shalom has a comment. Mizmor leDavid beBaruchem epnei Avshalom Beno. He's running away. His son is interested in killing the father, so he composes a Mizmor leDavid. It should be a Kina leDavid. What kind of Mizmor leDavid? Kina leDavid meBoy. The Gemara says no. He thought it was going to be worse. He heard. He didn't make him alecha rami beisecha. So hayotziv David HaMelech was very depressed. Shema Eved or Mamzer. The Lochayis Alai won't have Rachmanis. Oh, then it turned out it's his son. The son of Ahav Rahman. The son was trying to kill the father, but he won't torture him too much. So David HaMelech felt that he had a Hatzalah Purto, so he composed a Mizmor on that occasion.
How do you have a name Yishmael?
Yeah. So the Rashi and Chumash says that from the Medrash that Yishmael lost a tshuva. That Yishmael before he died he did tshuva, so that's okay. That's the famous word that they say when I think the name of Rav Yonis and Abishitz, when he was very young. So they I think his name is Rav Yonis and Abishitz. So they read him they wanted to read a Mashiach at a very young age. So they made up the Shatchan was gonna come from one city to bring the prospective father-in-law, and he was going to come with his father, and then we're going to meet in a middle location. So they made up the meeting in a shul in a certain city. So they all met together. So first they asked the little kid, they say that you're so bright, which one is the potential father-in-law? A whole bunch of people came together and said, which one? So he looked at the three people, he says, that one. They said, how do you know? So he says, I hate him already. Come shine fine. It happened that it was right. He said, it doesn't like him already. So they wanted him, they wanted to hear how bright he was. They said he was so brilliant, he knew how to learn. So they said he should say a shtikl Torah on something. So he said, whatever you want, show me any gemara, whatever. But it was in a shul, there were no gemaras, they were just sidurim. So he said, open the siddur to any page and I'll say it about Torah. So they opened it to the brisa of Bishmael Lam, Bishlosh Esmeyas HaTorah Nidveshesmeh. So he said, I'll say Advat Torah on that. So he said, how do you give a name? First of all, how do you give a name Yishmael? The Gemara says, Shem Rashaim Yirkav. You're not allowed to give a name after Arosha. And secondly, why does he say Rabbi Yishmael Loimer? It should say Omer Rabbi Yishmael. Rabbi Yishmael Loimer usually means that he disagrees with the previous mandama. And you ever have in the Mishnayos. So if a Tana starts something and says, Omer Rabbi Shimon, Omer Rabbi Meir. When he's disagreeing with the previous opinion, then he say Rabbi Meir, disagreement. Why do you say Rabbi Yishmael Omer? That's the first Bryce in the Torah's Kahanim. He's not disagreeing with anybody who came before. So he said, no, the answer is, how do you give the name Rabbi Yishmael if Yishmael was a Rasha? So he says, Rabbi Yishmael Oimer, the fact that they gave a name Yishmael, that itself teaches us that Yishmael did tshuva. Otherwise they wouldn't have given the name Yishmael. And that itself is an indication that you can darshan a klal a prat and a prat a klal and a klal a prat a klal. Because the Gemara asked the kasha in the first parak in Psochem on Davov, how do you darshan a klal a prat? If you have a muktam a miyucha batar, maybe it's really a prat a klal. How do you darshan a prat a klal? Maybe it's a klal a prat, a muktam a miyucha batar. So the Gemara says that rule, a muktam a miyucha batar, is only betray in yon, in two different parshas. In the same parsha, we say yesh muktam a miyucha batar. So how do you know that Yishmael did tshuva? Because it says when Avraham Avinu died, Vayikbur also Yitzchak v'Yishmael beno. So the Gemara says Yishmael was older than, he was much older than Yitzchak. So how come it says Vayikbur also Yitzchak v'Yishmael beno, Yitzchak and Yishmael buried him, should say Yishmael and Yitzchak. The answer is that Yishmael had derech eretz for Yitzchak and he knew that he was the Aman Yifchar, Yitzchak was the Aman Yifchar. He got the Birchas Avram, he knew that Yishmael is not going to get the Birchas Avram. So it's a raya that also tshuva. So what's the raya? Maybe I looked him a miyuch about Torah. Maybe really Yishmael went first, just because the pasuk is Vayik Baros the Yitzchak Yishmael Beno. Maybe Yishmael went first. The answer is no. It's in the same pasuk. In the same pasuk, B'chad and Yonah. So the Gemara says that Yish muktam a miyuch about Torah. So that's what he said as a child. Rabbi Yishmael Oimer. The fact that they gave a name Yishmael, that itself teaches us that B'shlosh Hasemiras HaTorah Nidreshes Behen. Although if you would have said a muktam miyucha batera even b'chadei inyan even in one parsha, then you would have to delete klala prata klala prata klal, because a muktam miyucha batera, then maybe it's a prata klal who says that it's a klala prat. That's the famous word. Yeah, we don't give names that were used by Rishoy. That's the guy's name is Moshe, Yeshua. It's a common name everybody has, but if it's an unusual name, like Adolf, so you don't give such a name. Avshalom. Avshalom is not such a common name. So we don't give a name Avshalom. Avishalom is a kosher name.
Avshalom's called Avishalom once or twice in Tanakh.
Mm-hmm. Problem. There's a problem on Tosis Teretz, yeah. Tosis says the correct use should be Avishalom. So what does it help? It's the same person. Gemara talks about starting up with Reform rabbis boilam hazeh. Mutar lizgaris b'shem, also lizgaris b'shem. Okay, the whole topic. What's the maskana? When the guy is on top of the world, but he's succeeding, so he don't start up. If he not show misachek is low, then mutal is garis berishon. Then anymore again goes back to the theme hakavei amakam letfilasa. We had it before, so we have the giris number hakavei amakam letfilasa. His prayers will be answered. Oivav noflim tachtav. Then you have the giris on the side nusach acher hakavei amakam letoyrasa. If the person learns in the same place, there'll be the learning will be more successful. Should be a hemshach. The Gemara has on the bottom, Godel Shimusha Shalter Yosem Elimudo. Shimusha Shalter, the Gemara quotes the Pasuk, Po Elisha Ben Shofar Asher Yotzak Mayim Al Yidei Eliyahu. Lama Lai Nema Lai Yotzak Malam Shekdol Godel Shimusha Yosem Elimudo. Shimusha means to try to pick up the Midas from the Rebbe, to watch if the Rebbe is a Tzadik. No. If the Rebbe is a Tzadik, so you should try to pick up not only the learning, you should try to pick up all the Hanhagas as well. Okay, on the bottom, what does Gemara say? There's one of the Amoraim who was not able to daven and shul used to daven miyichidus. So somebody confronts him, Omalei Rabbi Yitzchak to Rab Nachman, how come you don't come to shul to daven? So he says, I'm not up to it, I don't feel well. So how come you don't gather together in minyan yom? He says, it's not right to be matriach everybody. Trichali milsim. He doesn't want to schlep 10 people. So he says, so why don't you at least daven at the time that they're davening in the Beis Medrash? Daven, why don't you get someone to tell you? They didn't have any clocks. So they didn't daven mincha every day at 2:30 or something like that. They had no clocks then. So whenever it was time to daven, so they would daven. So why don't you ask one of the Talmidim from the yeshiva to tell you when they're about to daven mincha, so you'll daven mincha where you are. So he says, why? What's so important about that? So he tells him, no, that's a pasuk. Anis filas v'chashem eis ratzayin. I hope my prayers will be offered at a time that it's an Eis Ratzon. What is sometimes a better Eis Ratzon than the other time? The answer is Eis Ratzon. Even though you're davening b'yichidus at home, you're not davening in the Beis HaKnesses. But still, it's preferable to daven b'mishpalim. Yeah, every minute of the day, there's always a minyan davening somewhere in the world, but that probably does not. B'mishpalim probably means the tzibah is in my city. Moran says in the end of Rosh Hashanah that when the Chazan repeats the Chazaras Hashatz, he's even boitzi the Am Shebasadis. He's even boitzi the people, the farmers who don't show up in shul. So Am Yotzi b'Chazaras Hashatz because there's a Chazan in Yerushalayim and the great synagogue who's davening. Stamet only helps in the same city. The unit of Tzibur for the purpose of davening, Al Pi Pasha, seems to be in the same city. There's a Mishnah later about davening. Machlokes Satanan, whether you can daven Musaf b'yichidus. So some Tanaim are of the opinion that you can only daven Musaf b'chever here, only if you have a minion. Here in Laman Omer Aleph, the Bada Mishnah. Ablozim and Azariah, ain't filos amusaf mele b'chever, you have to have a minion. Achachamim, I remember they disagree. We paskin b'chever here, v'shlo b'chever here. Rav Yehuda Omer Mishma, or Rav Yehuda says it over differently, the name of Rav Dozim Azar. Not that he said you can only daven Musaf b'tzibur. Mokam sheyesham cheveriyah, yachid patim etfilos amasof. If there's a chazan reciting chazaras hashatz of Musaf, then the yachid doesn't have to daven Musaf. What do you mean, mokam sheyesham means a city? If there's a city, I know there's a chazan in Tel Aviv davening Musaf, so I don't have to daven Musaf. Means if it's my city. So you see somehow that the Tanoim are assuming that the Tzibur for the purposes of Tfilah, the Tzibur only applies to the people who live in the same city. But that's what the Gemara, probably Gemara means over here.
So wouldn't that mean in the city we've got Minyanim all the time and there is no special Inyan, you can't make it 2 weeks to leave your house if you got at any time from the Iron Washington? Yeah. Shach to me every time from 6 a.m. to 9 a.m.
I would assume that he probably has to have in mind which minion he wants to be mitzuref to. I want him in mitzuref to this minion, I'm in mitzuref to that minion. Even though he's in a different building, it's not mitzuref. But still, he wants to relate to a specific minion.
And say that he's a sheikh to a certain tzibur, this is my shul, this is my
could
tzibur.
Be, mean if it's a minion that I never daven there.
Right.
Could be that it will also wouldn't help. Maybe it's a tzibur that I relate to, a tzibur I don't relate to. You have to limit it, you know. Shoshat Sibo Mispavlin. In the early days of Hasidus, one of the wild things that Hasidim was doing was some of them still have Ara Yom Hazeh, like the Wild West. So they used to daven Shachris in the middle of the afternoon, and Minche in the middle of the night. Everything, all this Mana Tefillah were Kakai. So they said, they had a big debate that was printed, the debate between one of the Chassidish and one of the Misnagdish. So one of the issues in the debate was why they daven so late. So the Chassidish answered, and it says in the Talmud Yerushalmim, and these first Lechaz Shem Eis Ratzon, Emes Ayes Ratz Meshor Shad Tzadikim is Palalim. We have the Giris and the Gemara Meshor Shad Tzibim is Palalim. They said there's a Yerushalmim that says Meshor Shad Tzadikim is Palalim. So the Misnagid denied it. He said there is no such Yerushalmim. So they printed essays, they say there is such a Yerushalmim. There is such a Yerushalmim. The question is, what does it mean? Meshor Shad Tzadikim, whenever the Tzadikim daven, it's okay. They can daven Shachris Kakai, and Mincha, all they can violate all those Mana Tzibah. Or it means you should daven, if the tzaddikim are davening, there's man tefillah, so you should synchronize your davening with the tzaddikim. It doesn't necessarily mean tzaddikim are davening shaloi bizman anocha. Anyway, but the Babli doesn't have it. The Babli says, b'shor shat tzibam is
Babli. And if you only see
b'or,
it's doesn't the Rambam say, even if the only see b'or is rosh shining, you should still daven shalom? We take it.
Yeah, the Gemara speaks about the importance of davening tefillah b'tzilah. Hey, kel kabe lo yemos. Eir kodesh bo hamois b'tfilosom shol rabim. That's the Gemara insight that we had the other day, that the tefillos of rabim goes directly to the Rebbeinu Shlomo. We don't need the malachim to present it. So that's why the tzibur can even offer the davening in aloshna aramis, even though the malachim shows an amakim aloshna aramis, because you don't need the malachim to present it. But tefillah sayachid, if you don't have a tefillah b'tzibah, you don't have 10, so you need the malachim to present it. So the Gemara says you shouldn't daven b'losh and aramis. Gemara speaks about the importance of davening tefillah b'tzibah, davening beis haknesses. Yeah. The Gemara says a person, mishieshlo, on the first white line, on chesam adal, mishieshlo beis haknesses bi'iro. There is a shul in his city, beina nichnas l'sham l'ispal, he doesn't go into daven. He's a bad neighbor. The pasuk in Yirmiyah says, "Ko amar Hashem al kol shchenai harayim hanoygim in nachala asher hinchalti esam yas Yisrael." The pasuk pshat is that this is a nevuah l'roa and all of the Arab nations that surround Eretz Yisrael, the shchenai harayim, Egypt and Syria and Lebanon and Jordan and so on. But the Gemara says an additional level of interpretation: the shchenai harayim, people that live in a city where there's a beis haknesses and they don't come into the shul to daven. So that's an avla gedola. The importance of davening b'tzibah. You know, the importance of davening beis haknesses, the importance of davening b'tzibah. Omer lo the Rabbi Yochanan, the famous Gemara, the fourth white line on Chesam and Alf. Rabbi Yochanan lived in Eretz Yisrael, so he didn't know what was going on in Babel. He didn't see them. So they tell him, Ika Savi be Babel. There are people who live to a ripe old age in Babel. Toma, yeah, how can that be? That's impossible. It says in the Kriyash Malamad, Yubay Mech Nebenech Malhu Adamo. Abu Chutzlot Zlo, the promise to live to an Arichas Yamim is only if you're in Eretz Yisrael. Yibu Yimech Ve'ebrech Malhu Adom, Chutzlot is no promise. But then came in the Amrilei when they told Rabbi Yechanan the secret, the Mekadmi Mechashchi Lebe Knishto, that they wake up early, they come to Dam and Shachris, and they stay late to Dam and Mayrib. Oh, Omar, now I understand why there's an Arichas Yamim. Hayla Dahanelahu, Kedam Rabbi Shema Levi Lebnei. Like Rabbi Shema Levi told his children, get up early and go to Shachris and stay late in Davar Ma'ariv, Arbav Be'knishte, and this will accomplish an Arichas Yomim. So how did they answer the Kasha? The Gemara doesn't explain. How did they answer the Kasha? Sof kol sof, he was bothered with the Kasha. That the Pasuk in Kriyat Shema says, Mal Yibay Mech Mal Hu Adama. Only in Eretz Yisrael, not in Chutz Loretz. How did it answer? So everybody says over the Maharsho. The Maharsho refers you to the Gemara in the end of Megillah, that the Gemara says, that someday in the future all the shuls from Chutz Loretz will fly to Eretz Yisrael. So originally Rabbi Yochanan couldn't understand how can it be an Arichas Yamim in Babel. The Arichas Yamim is only promised from Eretz Yisrael. But then they told him that the people in Babel spend a lot of time in the shul, but the Kenesias of Batim Midrashas, so that's like an extension of Eretz Yisrael. Since they're all Asidim Lehikovei of Eretz Yisrael, That's like the American embassy in Eretz Yisrael is officially part of America. It's extraterritorial area. It's considered as if it's part of America. It's not part of Eretz Yisrael. So that's when they told Rabbi Yochanan that they spend a lot of time in Shul. So that's the same as spending time in Eretz Yisrael. So the Haftocha applies.
Against the idea that the
Batei Knesset in Chutz
Lartz are assumed
tonight? I don't know. Good question. I don't know. Then the Gemara says it's not right. A lot of people, they walk into shul, they just sit in the last row, they walk in the door, they see the daven mincha and they run out right away. Or they daven shachris and they run out right away. It looks as if they're afraid to enter into the shul. So the Gemara says you have to be nichnas Pesach lifnim mi Pesach. How does the pasuk say? Ashri Adam, the pasuk initially. Ashri Adam Shemei Ali Lishkor al Dasai Yom Yom Lishmar Mezuzas Psochai. Lishmar Mezuzas Psochai talks about two psochim. So that's where Abchizda says Liyal Mekadosh Adam Shnei Psochim the Beis HaKnesses. So what does Mishnei Pesachim? So the simple shot with the Pietur mean that you shouldn't have a shul that opens up right onto the street. You have to have a hallway, you have to have a vestibule in front of the shul. So everybody enters into, from the street, you enter into one Pesach into the hallway, then from the hallway you walk into the shul. So the Gemara thinks that that doesn't make any sense. Why do you have to have a hallway? If you have a crowded shul, so you don't need a hallway, you're just losing space. You shouldn't walk in, let's say the shul borders on the street, you shouldn't walk in and sit in the back row to demonstrate as if it's a masal, if he wants to run out as soon as possible, as soon as he finishes. No, he should go in, instead of sitting in the back row, he should sit further in. That's what Rav Soloveitchik used to say, that why is the Mizrachvan considered the most bekavadika location? So people think because it's closest to the Yom Kodesh. Closer you are to the Yom Kodesh, the more bekavadika. So he said, no, it's because Rashi said from the Tosefta and Megillah, the Rashi on the top of Avav and Beis on the second column, both columns are Rashi there. The Rashi on the top of the second column quoted the Tosefta and Megillah, that you're supposed to have the Pesach, Beis HaKnesses, Mechuvin Kenegah, the Yom Kodesh. So the furthest you can walk in is the Mizrachvan. So that's the most bekavadika location. You walk, instead of just walking in Shnei Pesachim, you walk all the way in as far as you can go. Shnei Pesachim. Alei Mashir Shnei Pesachim Akach Yispalo. There is a sefer that's called Yesh Noichlein, written by the Shalos father, I think. So he starts off, some people have money and they leave the children money, and other people don't have any money, so they can't Yesh Noichlein Lebneim, Yesh Manchilim Lebneim money. And others have no money, so they leave over Tzavo of Yerushalayim. So he didn't have any money, he left the Tzavo, so his children took the Tzavo and they printed it and they made money on the Tzavo. So the brother of the Shalom wrote a commentary that's called Hagos Yesh Nechlin on the bottom of the page. So the Mogen Avraham quotes every so often from the Yud Nun, from the Yesh Nechlin, from the Hagos Yesh Nechlin. That's by the father of the Shalom, by the brother of the Shalom. So I think in the Hagos Yesh Nechlin he has such a pshetel on the Gemara. That's not what it means in the Gemara. He has such a taich on the Gemara. Yikonish Nei Pesachim, it says, Pesach Tiftach Is Yod Chalo, you should give Tzedokah. The Gemara says, Yikonish Adam Shnei Pesachim, Achakach Is Palel, you should give Tzedokah first. Before you daven, you should give Tzedokah. Kederach Shodom Modid, Kach Modid Im Lo. If you'll give Tzedokah to those people, even if they don't really deserve it so much, I mean, Ashamayim, they'll give you a break even if you don't deserve it also. Yeah, I don't know. What do you have to reinterpret the Gemara for that? That's how Gemara in Bava Basra says like that. Ani b'terekecha sepanecho. First I give the tzedakah and then I daven. There is a Gemara. There is such a din. So he interprets that that's a taich in our Gemara. Yikon esad b'shnei pesach, mi should fulfill pesach, tiftach, give tzedakah, v'acha kach yispalo. Then the Gemara quotes the pasuk nim. Azos yispalo kochosid leis, mitzo a person, a righteous tzaddik should always daven leis mitzo. What is leis mitzo? So first, the Gemara say refers to a shidduch, matzah isha matzah tov. You should be mispala, that's one of the needs that people have. If single people need a good shidduch, so you have to daven that you should get a good shidduch. Now the suggestion is leis mitzo is a reference to Torah. A person should be mispala, tov kadosh baruch hu, he should be matzliach and learning. Third opinion is leis mitzo zu miso. Each one has a pasuk. Leis mitzo zu miso, a A person should even daven when a person is sick and holding by the hand, he should pray to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, should have a pleasant death. The Gemara says there are 903 different ways to die. So you should pray that you'd have a pleasant death. Then the Gemara says, the next Madama says, Leis Mitzoh Zukvura. Not only should you pray that you should have a pleasant death, you should pray that there should be no humiliation to you after you die when they're doing the burial. Everything should go properly. You have to daven, in other words, you have to daven every step of the way. From the beginning to the end, you have to daven for parnasa, for shidduch, and for hatzlacha, and learning, and dying, and burial, everything. You have to daven for everything. The Gemara shows each one. What's, where do you see in Tanakh that the word mitzoh, the verb limtzoh, has a connection with getting married, has a connection with dying, with burying, and with learning Torah? The Gemara quotes psukim for each one. Gemara finally says, a person should be mispalo, that HaKadosh Baruch should take care of all of the needs. Afilo adzibula bas raiso, Shlomo. You should pray that everything should go well in a peaceful fashion. Adzibula bas raiso, until the last shovel of dirt that they're going to bury him with, you have to pray for that too. Everything should go well. Then the next one says, Leis mitzos beis akisa. The Gemara said, that's very important, yeah. You have to take care of your health, okay? Then the Gemara has a memory. They asked, Rav asked Raphram Bar Papa, tell us over some things that Rav Chisda said. Apparently he was a student of Rav Chisda. So yes, Raphram Bar Papa, tell us over some of the things Rav Chisda in Hilchos Beis HaKnesses. So he says Rav Chisda had a comment. On the pasuk continue. What does it mean? HaKadosh Baruch Hu appreciates more Sharm Hamtzion Malacha Bosa the Bati Knesis Bati Midrashos. What does that mean? What do you mean? Bati Midrashos means Bati Knesis means that you're davening. Bati Midrashos means a place where you're learning. So what's the difference between Sharm Hamtzion Malacha as opposed to Bati Midrashos? It's the same thing, no? So I saw that Benayohu or Ben Yoyoda, one or the other, has some machlokes with the Marshal. What's the difference? So one suggestion is, Bati Midrashos means a Beis Medrash where they're just learning Tanakh. All day long, learn Tanakh. Symposium. And the Sharm Habzion Balacha means that they're learning Torah Shabbal Peh, which leads to Psak Halach. Sharm Habzion Balacha. Then that's, I think, what the Marshal says. So the Ben Yehoyada is not happy with that. What the word Bati Midrashos usually has the connotation of people who are learning Gemara. It does not only have the connotation. Bati Midrashos in the days of the Tanai means that they're only learning Mikra. So he says, maybe it means Bati Midrashos, they're learning Pilpul, but they don't come Lasuki Shmaitz Ali B'Dilchasa. And Sharm HaMtzorim Alacha means that they learn the Pilpul, they learn the Gemara with the Taisvis, with the Shulchan Aruch. And they come Lasuki Shmaitz and Libidilchus, Sharm Hamtzion and Baaloch. They can come to a maskan Aloch Alamais. So the Rebbe Shalom prefers those over those. Yam Shachar Beis Amigd, Shein Allah Kodesh Baruch Hu Bailoma, El Adal Aram Shel Halocha Bilvan. So it either means Torah Shebal Peh as opposed to Torah Shebichsav, or it means Halocha Psuka, Aloch Alamais, over Stam Pilpo Biyama. Those are the two ways to interpret the Gemara. There used to be a colorful rabbi who taught here in the yeshiva. So he was upset. He passed away a long time ago. So he used to be upset why there were some rabbanim who insist halacha is only the way they said. Whatever he says doesn't count. He wasn't such a great halacha. He was a prominent practicing rabbi in the young Israel. So he said, the Gemara doesn't say Beis HaMashav HaLacha. Folks, Dalar HaMashav HaLacha. It's a wide highway. You can go here, you can go here. If you go crooked, then you go up the highway. That's no good. But if you're going straight, there's Dalar HaMas. There's room for Elevi Eli. You don't always say Elevi Eli. But there's more than one correct Psak HaLacha. Dalar HaMashav HaLacha. That's the Lashon HaGemara. Dalar HaMashav HaLacha Dolzai. What does the Gemara have? Merei Shavi Gerist and the Gold Beis, I used to learn at home. Umatzlina Bebe Knishna used to go to Shul to Davin. And then I heard, Kevin Shmaya Lahod Amar Abchi Baram, Shmaya Diyom, Shchavis, Shmaya Diyom, Shchavis, Batalam, Shalaloche. I changed my practice. So what did he change his practice? So there are two girsas. There in Megillah has one way. Here it says this same Gemara appears in Megillah. The way it says in our editions that the Gemara says over there also Abaye. On the margin, on the side there in Megillah, it says there is one girsa that says that that's Rava speaking. Okay, so if it's Rava, so each one, they both started off the same way, and each one changed the practice. According to the other girsa that it's Abaye, they're both Abaye. So either he changed in one direction and changed in the other direction. The Gemara Megillah said he changed his practice and he decided to learn in shul. And our Gemara says he changed his practice, decided to daven at home. He used to daven at home and daven in shul. So then he heard that it's more correct is to daven in the same place where you learn. You should daven where there's Ashuras Hashchina. Here's Ashuras Hashchina. Oyev Hashem Sharitzion. Sharem Hamtzion Malacha is to be preferred over Bati Knesis and Bati Midrashis. So Agamara says that he changed his practice and he started davening. Lahav matzlin alehecha digriisna. I daven the same place where I learn. So that's a shayla. The Rabbi Yehuda has two pshatim over here. But that person always learns kavua. He learns in this place medrash. And then it's time to daven. He doesn't have a minion. So he said it's better to daven where you learn even without the benefit of a minion, rather than to go to a different shul for the balabatam and davening. It's better to learn. Better to daven the yechidus in the same place hecha de grisna, rather than to daven the tzibur. The Gemara means no. It's better to daven tefillah b'tzibur with a small minion, rather than to go to shul to have 100 people in the shul. If I'm going to daven where I learned, there are only 15 people learning in the base medrash. I'll go to shul to have 150 people. So that's what the Gemara means to say. It's better to daven where you learn if you have tefillah b'tzibur rather than to gain b'roi v'om hadras mem. So there are two opinions in the Rabbeinu Yehuda. Usually assume that it's preferable to daven tefillah b'tzibur. Tefillah b'tzibur is preferable, but even though it's a small tzibur, where I was learning, it'll just be barely make the minyan. But go to shul to be a bigger minyan. So that's what the Gemara says. It's better to daven where you learn with the smaller minyan, and you lose that on the b'roi v'om hadras mem. Abami Ravasi, even though there are 13 shuls in Tveria, they live in Tveria, Masla, Beni Amud, Hech Davigas. They would daven where they live. And the Gemara says how important it is to work for a living. You shouldn't live off of charity. Gia Kapecha, Kisecha, La Shrecha, Vitoivlach, Shrecha, Bolam, Azeh, Vitoivlach, Lolam, Abo. That was always the Jewish tradition. We believe in everybody working for a living. We're not supposed to. It's no mitzvah to live in poverty. That's a concept that was borrowed from the Christians. It's a mitzvah to live in poverty. There's no mitzvah to live in wealth, but there's no mitzvah to live in poverty. And to schnorr money for other people. That's considered a humiliation. A filu, darker shelter. Person has to learn, even if it'll only be pas from melech tevel. But it doesn't mean that it has to be like that. I think it's usually assumed that means even. Even Pasma Malach Toich, but it's not that a Dafke has to be like that. They tell the story that the Netziv once met up with the Rashash. The Rashash was a wealthy businessman. He was the president of the Kehillah in Vilna. And the Netziv was a poor Rosh Yeshiva. So they once met on one occasion, and the Rashash asked him a kasha in Yevamos that bothered him for years, and then it seemed right away gave a teretz. So he said, how can it be? I was bothered with the kasha for so many years. You gave a teretz right away. So he bopped him over the head, and he told him, because you're very wealthy, and you learn b'harchove, and I learn in aniyah, so that's why I'm more matzliach and learn. So the Rashash in Yevamos writes the kasha, and he says, I met the Netziv and he told me the Teretz. He doesn't write the whole comment that he gave me. He just writes, the Netziv told me the Teretz. No. Sometimes that is the case, that if a person is, he lives in wealth, that sometimes takes away from his ability to learn.
What do you think of the Rambam that says that every Jew is allowed to become shaved, maybe, and rely on other people supporting the Rambam?
Yeah, I don't know. You have to be Mashiv the Rambam and Ayyabay, because the Rambam in the other place quotes, You're not allowed to make Torah kardim lachba bo. You're not allowed to take any salary. And the Kes Mishnah asks, so he says, all the rabbis are salaried. All the rabbis in shuls, all the rabbis in yeshivas are all salaried. So he says, we all violate this. Islas Lashem Eferet Torah Secha. We won't violate it, we won't have any Torah. So the Rambam is the one who is most opposed. He has in the Pirush HaMishnah Yisam Pirkei Avos, that kardim lachba bo, he has in the Mishnah Torah. He's very opposed to taking money for learning. So what does he mean over there? You join Shevet Levi? I don't know.
Seems to be that's the elite of
Klal Yisrael. If Klal Yisrael wants it, if we want to have these people, like here in the yeshiva, every yeshiva has a kollel. So the yeshiva feels that it's a good investment for the yeshiva. But a guy comes to the neighborhood, he makes his own base medrash, he starts his own kollel, and he wants us to support him. We didn't invite you to come to the community. Here, every yeshiva has a kollel, so we want people to apply to the kollel. We'd like to take people in, because we want it for our community, for our yeshiva, to have hashpon, the younger guys. But the Rambam says, to make it a kardam lachba, I should ask them to give me money. That's not right. Whoever joins Shevet Levi, okay. When you have a kollel and they're taking applications, so you can apply. But to found your own kollel and ask everybody to support you, that's the Rambam says is improper. Yeah.
Every single kollel initially started that way. They initially had to go to people and say to them,
yeah. No, here, let's say in Yeshiva over here. Here the Balabat Maran Yeshiva felt that it's important to have a kollel. If we're not going to have a kollel, so we won't have learned Rabban. Well, just, they'll only know superficial. They won't know how to learn well. Then the Gemara speaks about the importance of living in the same community with your Rebbe, from Makam Rabbi Bedavka Natalik. So the Gemara says, if you plan to listen to the Rebbe, you're going to be comfortable to what the Rebbe says. You should live in the same community, so it'll have a hashpah. And look at this, Shlomo HaMelech only started to sin by marrying Bas Paro after Shimi Ben Gera passed away. That was his Rebbe. Because Man Shimi Ben Gera was alive, Shlomo HaMelech was comfortable to him, and he wouldn't have sinned. And if the fellow is a knacker and he doesn't plan to be kofa for the rabbi, it's better that he should not live in the same community with the rebbe, because he'll be punished. He'll be punished by the fact that he's not kofa to the rebbe. So let him live somewhere else. Then the Gemara talks about the importance not to leave in the middle of learning. Oiz v'Hashem yichlu. Those who leave God should die. Yichlu. They should have kloya. Zeh amina. When you're leaving the Rabban Shalom, in the Sefer Torah, learning represents the Rabban Shalom. In all the shuls I remember years ago, they used to learn between Mincha and Arif, New York. It's based on the pasuk in the end of Parshas Tzav. Pesach Amay Teshva Yomam V'Layla Shivas Yomim. How is it? The Rishami asked, how is that physically possible? They should stay there all day and all night, 24 hours. Then they have to go to the bathroom, they have to go eat, they have to go do things. How is it physically possible, Yomam V'Layla? So the different suggestions given by the Yerushalmi. So one suggestion is, they just have to be mechaba laila liyom and mechaba yom lalaila. They should be there from before Shkia to left the Tzeisan Kuchavim, Pesach Omer Teshu, and they should be there before Alos HaShachar to left Alos HaShachar, when you mechaba yom lalaila and when you mechaba laila liyom. So that's considered Pesach Omer Teshu, Meshivas Yomim, laila bayom. As if they were there by yom balayla. So the Yerushalmi has it like that. So the first Magen Avraham in Erech Haim writes, that it says v'hagisa b'yom v'alayla, similar lashon in Yeshua, you should learn all day and all night. How is that physically possible? So the Magen Avraham quotes from the Shalah, you should be mechaber yom l'layla and layla liyom. So that was the practice. They used to daven mincha before the shki, and they would finish 5 minutes before, and all the balabatim would sit down and learn on Yankiv or Kitzur Shulchan Aruch or Mishnayos, whatever different shuls they would learn, the Arnavi, whatever they would learn between Mincha and Ma'ariv, and then after Tzeisat Kacham, then they would start davening Ma'ariv. So the Magen Avraham quotes this from the Shalah, you should try to be Mechaba, Yom Lalaila, and Laila Liyom. So the Nitziv writes in his commentary on the Shiltas that Shalah's idea is based on this Yerushalmi, that was the Hirashah of Aaron Abanav, Pesach HaMei Teshim Shivas Yamim Laila Bayom. The way to fulfill Laila Bayom Shivas Yamim, it's physically impossible, so the way to fulfill it is to be mechaba yom lalaila and laila liyom. So that's how we should fulfill the hagisa bo yom lalaila. So in all the shuls, he used to have the Rabbi Sam Balabatim. They would come to David Mincha Marv. They weren't interested in walking over to the table to learn. So the Rabbanim always used to say, the pasuk in Mishlei, Meiser Oz the Mishmaya, Torah Gam Tvilosa Ta'eva. The person who walks away, that doesn't want to listen to the Shir, in between Mincha Marv, so his prayers are not accepted either. So they always used to encourage all the Balabatim. It wasn't such deep, but they weren't answering the Mashua's kashas. They weren't talking about Rabbar Be'ez Torah. They were saying over easy Mishnayis and easy and Yankiv. And all the shuls, they learned easy things. So that's what the Gemara says. Ozvi Hashem Yichlo. Those who leave the Rabban Shalom, who is Aminech Sefer Torah, V'yetzeh. The Sefer Torah represents HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Torah. Leaving a Torah represents HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So you're not allowed to leave when it comes time for Kriyas HaTorah. The Balabatim, they're only interested in davening, they're not interested in learning. But they're going to walk out, a Kiddush Klav. They walk out when it's Kriyas HaTorah after. So that's what the Pasuk says in Yishai. Ozvi Hashem Yichlo. You're not allowed to Aminech Sefer Torah. If you go in between one aliyah and the other, so that's not a violation. He's not there when it comes to the second aliyah. Okay, they'll be missing the second aliyah. They'll be missing the second aliyah, but at least he's not outright leaving in the middle of the Kriyas HaTorah, Ben Gavra LeGavra. Then the Gemara has a suffix. What about Ben Psuka LePsuka Mahu? How long a pause is there Ben Psuka LePsuka? The answer is that Bizman HaGemara, they used to recite, they had a Meturgman would say the Targum. So that's the Gemara Sofik. The Balkari would finish a Pasuk, then the Meturgman would be saying over in Targum Unkelis, or commenting extra, he would give more. So that's the Gemara Sofik. Is that a violation of Ozvi Hashem Yichla Minir Sefer Torah V'yotzei? Or since it's been Psuka L'Psuka, the Balkari is not laning, the Meturgman is saying the Targum. So maybe that's Mutter, so the Gemara is not sure Tegu. So then the Gemara tells a story. So the Rishonim learn as if the story of Rav Shesha has nothing to do with the previous line in the Gemara. And they're all bothered with the question, what do you mean Rav Shesha didn't pay attention to the Kriyas HaTorah, Mahadarapi Vigoris? So they give all the answers. He already heard Kriyas HaTorah by the earlier minion. So that's why he doesn't have to listen to the second minion. And maybe Kriyas HaTorah is a Chayvus HaTzibur, not a Chayvus HaYochid. So he didn't feel compelled. Or Rav Sheshes was a Sagi Nohar. He was blind, and he's not Muchim in Torah Shemichsav. He's only Muchim in Torah Shabbat. Nam Bididan, I'm a Sagi Nohar. So I'm not Muchim to hear Kriyas HaTorah. They're in a Bididu. Those people who can read, they're Muchim in Kriyas HaTorah. That's how some Rishonim say. Because Rav Sheshes was a Sagi Nohar. All the different explanations. How is he allowed to not pay attention to the Kriyas HaTorah? The Gemara says in Zaita, Daf Lamites, so that's the kasha we discussed yesterday. That's the kasha all the Rishonim discussed. So here in the Sefer Nachlas David learned by Rav Chaim Balozhin, and he gave Shurim and Balozhin during the lifetime of Rav Chaim Balozhin. Rav Chaim Balozhin called them back to the yeshiva. That's the one that I mentioned. He had a chavrus with the son of a rabbi to learn together. They were going to learn 6 years together. So they planned the first year they're going to learn Zroim, next year they're going to learn Moyed and Noshim and Zikin. See, after 2.5 or 3.5 years of learning, they hadn't yet finished what they were supposed to finish at that time. So the Nachlas David got a letter from Rav Chaim Balozhin, just come back to the yeshiva. So that was the end of the whole Chavrus. So the Chavrus wrote a whole sefer. So he writes that the Nachlas David was stronger than I was in learning. My father paid him to tutor me. He says he knew how to learn better than me. He doesn't think that he had a better head. He knew how to learn better than me because he was brought up in a community, in a village that was closer to Vilna, so the influence of the Derech HaLimud of the Vilna Gaon had been felt already. And I was brought up in a village further away, so the influence of the Vilna Gaon Derech HaLimud had not yet been felt. And what was the whole Derech HaLimud? So he says that the difference in the Derech HaLimud was that the Vilna Gaon insisted you should first learn Tanakh and then learn Mishnayos and then learn Gemara, as it says in Pirkei Avos, and then learn Shulchan Aruch. And I was brought up with the old system before the Vilna Gaon straightened that. We learned first Yerideya. And we didn't know what it said in the Gemara. And then when we're trying to reconstruct what the Shach quotes Marsha and the Taisus. So what did Taisus say? What did the Marsha say? So they were guessing. And then after they learned the Shulchan Aruch, the Satmar still do like that. They learned Mogen Avraham, they learned Arachayim with Mogen Avraham, and they never learned the Gemaras. So you don't know what in the world the Mogen Avraham is talking about. If you learn everything out of order, so you won't understand. So he writes in the Sefer, in the Hagdama to the Sefer, that's why the Nachlas David was stronger in learning. Anyway, there the Nachlus David, the famous Nachlus David is on Bava Kama and on Bava Mitzi, but he has on other Mesichtas as well. He has a little bit on Brachas. So he writes over here that the Rav Chaim Balazhin held that the best answer to this kasha that Tosis asks is in the Sefer Chemda Sayami. The Mishkan is Yankov also has a Sefer on Brachas called Kohelis Yankov. So he also writes, he doesn't quote Rav Chaim Balazhin. He says the best pshat in this Gemara appears in the Sefer Chemda Sayami. Chemda Sayami apparently was a controversial Sefer. I never looked at it. Apparently it's a controversial Sefer. Some say the author was an Apikoros. He was from the Shabsai Tzvi followers. So they, over here they say that this is the best pshat in this Gemara. Some say the Chemda Sayami stole it from someone else who wrote it earlier. It wasn't his original, whatever. But they all say the Chemda Sayami has the best pshat. That boy Rapapa had a suffix. What's the din beim psuka lepsuka mahu teku? I permitted to leave. You're not allowed to leave in the middle of Kriyas HaTorah. All of our kasevim ezvi Hashem yichlu. The pasuk in Yishai that the Kriyas HaTorah, Liman HaTorah, represents the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. You're not allowed to leave in the middle of Liman HaTorah. So the shaila was, what about beim psuka lepsuka mahu? When the Meturgamon is saying Targum Onkelus, is that also a violation of ezvi Hashem yichlu or not? So Avsheishes Mahadarapi during the Meturgamon's translation, he would learn Mishnayos Vigoris. Why? I don't need the Targum Onkelus. I know Pshat in the Chumash. Anan b'didan, v'ina b'didtu. The Amihorets in the Shulah don't know Pirush Amilus and the Pasuk, so they have to pay attention to the Meturgma. I know the Pshat. I don't need the Targum. So Anan b'didan, v'ina b'didtu. Rav Sheish doesn't go on Kriyas HaTorah. Tosis and all the Rishonim ask the Kasha. Tosis and the Rif, they're all bothered with the Kasha. Doesn't it contradict the Gemara in Saito? So the answer is, that's when they're learning Kriyas HaTorah, but when they're learning Haftorah, that was the suffix of Rav Papa, are you allowed to leave or not? So he didn't leave. Rav Sheshes didn't leave. Rav Sheshes wouldn't pay attention to the Meturgamon. He would recite Mishnayos when the Meturgamon was saying the Targum Onkelus. He thought that he didn't leave it. Anan b'didan, I don't need the Targum Onkelus. Some Rishonim say Anan b'didan, I'm a Sagi Nohar, so I don't have to pay attention to Kriyas HaTorah, because Ram Shibisabi Atarah Shalmi Amen Apet, so I can never learn Kriyas HaTorah. So I'm not Mukhayim Kriyas, blind people not Mukhayim Kriyas HaTorah. That's what some of the Rishonim say. The other Rishonim say no, Anan b'didan, my field is Torah Shebal Pet, Dina b'didtu. And this Chemda Sayame gives the interpretation. Anan b'didan, I don't need the Targum Onkelus. So those who need it, let them pay attention. Anan b'didan, I don't need it, so I should learn Mishnayos. It's a difficult line in the Gemara. Anan b'didan, v'ina b'didtu. Then the Gemara speaks the last line, the importance of being ma'abesed v'shnayim mikra v'echa targum. Yeah. Yerem yashli modem parshiyos avim atzi v'shnayim mikra v'echa targum. The Torah over here, the Ravon, writes a wild interpretation that's not accepted in Lalacha. He says that you only have to be Mabesed Rishnayim Mikavecha Targum for the Yeshuvenikas who live on the farm and there's no minion, so they're not going to have Kriyas HaTorah. So they're going to be missing Kriyas HaTorah Shabbos afternoon and Sheni Bechamishi and Shabbos morning and the Targum Unkelis, they're going to have a Kriyas HaTorah with a Meturgamon. So they better lane Shnayim Mikavecha Targum. Those who go to shul, those who live in the city go to shul. But so we're going to hear Shnayim Mikra. We're going to hear Kriyas HaTorah Shabbos afternoon, Monday morning, Thursday morning. We're going to hear everything. So we don't need Shnayim Mikra Becha Targum. This is a substitute for those who are unable to hear, for the farmers who don't have any Kriyas HaTorah.
Should you only have to lean up to Sheni, Shnayim Mikra, and then the rest of the Parsha, Echad Mikra, Shnayim Targum?
No, whatever. So that's the pshat that's not accepted. We assume that the Shnayim Mikra Echad Targum even applies if you are going to hear the Kriyas HaTorah. Yashlim Parshiyos Evim Atzibur, even though you are going to hear the Kriyas HaTorah. Here Tosis has the suffix whether Shnayim Mikra Echad Targum is only Targum Unkelis, because the Gemara says in the first parak in Megillah, the beginning of Megillah, Dav Gimel Amud Aleph, Tosis doesn't quote the whole thing. Megillah, Dav Gimel Amud Aleph, the Gemara writes a lashon that Targum Unkelis is L'moshe Misinai. It's a question exactly what that means. The Moshe Mishtaka literally transmitted from generation to generation in Aramaic verbatim, the way it says in Targum Onkelus. Or does it mean that there was a Masoira of Targum and in the days of the Chachamim, the days of the Tanaim, the days of Onkelus, they said it over in Aramaic? A question, whatever it means, but the Gemara singles out Targum Onkelus as being something different from the other Targumim. as opposed to the Jewish Publication Society translation, or the Art Scroll, or all the others. The question is, the Targum Onkelos has some mile over the others. The Tesis is not sure. Yesh Mefarshim Hadin Allah says Balashavah, any translation, Hershit's translation, any Orthodox translation would be acceptable. And then Tesis is not sure. We'll only hear it, they're not sure. So this is a Shaila and Shulchan Aruch. So then the Gemara says, Afil Ataris V'divine, even on the Pasuk, Ataris V'divine should also fulfill the requirement of Shnayim Mikra V'lecha Targum. What's Afil Ataris V'divine? So Rashi says, She'im Bo Targum. So if Zayim Bo Targum, I'm going to do Shnayim Mikra V'lecha Targum. Means he said the Pasuk three times. That's how Taisa says, Tzorach L'Tzoso, Shavash Pamin B'Ivris. He said the Pasuk a third time. Taisa is not happy with Rashi. Why does it say Afil Ataris V'divine? Should say Afil Ruben V'Shimon. Torah Svediven in Bamidbar chapter 11 base is not the first pasuk in the Chumash that has no targum, that just says over the words from the Chumash that you say it over a third time. You should say Reuven B'Shimon. So Taisus says no. The Yeshloimar Torah Svediven doesn't have a targum Unkelus, but it has a targum in Yerushalmi. So that's what it means. Afilo Torah Svediven, but there's no targum Unkelus. So you should try to search out, try to find a targum. So use the Targum Yerushalmi. So the Tosfos Pshat and Ataris V'Divon, you should say Targum Yerushalmi is on the assumption they raised the issue in the previous Tosfos. Are you yotze with any other Targum other than Targum Onkelos? So now they're interpreting. That's how the Vilna Gaon says it's a machlokes Rashi and Tosfos. Rashi holds you're only yotze with Targum Onkelos. Ataris V'Divon, there is no Targum Onkelos. So you got to say the pasuk three times. And Ruvu Hashem, there is no Targum Onkelos. You got to say the pasuk three times. And Tosfos, the second Tosfos on Ches and Beis, Afila Taurus B'Divan, Tosfos is working on the assumption that it is acceptable other Targumim. So that's why they say, Ataurus B'Divan that doesn't have a Targum Onkelos. So you should look, find the Targum Yerushalmi and say the Targum Yerushalmi on the post. That's Lefishu Tosam, that they're working on the assumption that the other Targumim are acceptable as well. The Vilna Goyen is quoted as having pointed out that in our editions of the Chumash and the Pasuk Ataris V'Divan, they have some translation over there. So he says that what they did was they put in the Targum Yerushalmi into the Onkelos. So he says, but according to Rashi, you're not Yotze with anything other than Targum Onkelos. So you should really say the Pasuk three times, Ataris V'Divan, and then say it to satisfy Rashi's opinion that Ataris V'Divan has no Targum, nothing different than Targum Onkelos, they got to say the Pasuk three times. And then to satisfy Tosfos Shita, so then you say what's printed by us in the small letters of the Targum that's really not Targum Onkelos, Targum Yonasan, Machlalta, Malbeshta, and so on. So you should say it twice. I Tosfos Kasha against Rashi, Afilo Ataris V'Divan. Why didn't they pick the earlier Pasuk, Afilo Reuven V'Shimon? That was Tosfos Kasha. So the Vilna Goyen, they quote from the Vilna Goyen, he said at Teretz, that what's the whole idea of Shnai Mikra V'Echa Targum? You want to be Moisif and Chayla V'Kodesh. You want to take Loshon Laz, Targum Onkelos is in Aramaic. So you want to take a Loshon Laz, it's not a Loshon HaKodesh. Loshon HaKodesh is Hebrew. Aramis is not Loshon HaKodesh. So you want to take a Loshon Laz and incorporate it into Limud HaTorah. So one might have thought that Ataris V'Divan, that's what the text of the story in the Chumash is telling you. That they're on the Kaddish Chutz Loretz. The Torah Aratus on the surface. We have a din kol mokam asher tidrach kaf rag lachem bo lachem nesatid. Where's that pasuk? The last pasuk in Ekev. So Taisus in the first parak in Gitna and Avches quotes the Sifrei. And that pasuk in Ekev, the Ramban on that pasuk at the end of Ekev quotes the Sifrei. Kol mokam asher tidrach means afilu b'chutz loretz. That wherever, after being Mekadosh Eretz Yisrael, so you can endow Chutz Loretz also with Kedusha of Kedusha Sa'aretz. You can be Moisif Mechol Al HaKodesh. So one might have thought that since the story that you're reading, Ataris V'Divan, is telling about the fact that they were Mekadosh Chutz Loretz, they gave Kedusha Sa'aretz to Chutz Loretz. So one might have thought when you read this story, there's no need to have Echa Targum. The whole purpose of Echa Targum is to be Moisif Mechol Al HaKodesh, to endow the Lashon Aramis with Kedusha, to use the Lashon Aramis for Limud HaTorah. So that's according to Rashi. That's why the Gemara said Afilo Ataris V'Divan. That's why they didn't say Afilo Reuven V'Shimon. Yeah.
According to Tosfos, let's say, and based on Tosfos, let's assume you could use Perish Rashi in Chumash. So let's say there's no Rashi on a certain pasuk. Should you read the Targum?
Probably should.
Rashi can't
Taisa Sadi can be a Rashi.
What? Rashi is not provided to be Motzi.
Yeah. Taisa Sadi can be Yotze with any Pirush, yeah.
Taisa Sadi can be Rashi does.
Okay.
Some people say you can learn Rashi
following Taisus. According to Taisus' opinion, according to this Taisus, I feel that Taurus for Divine, that they said Targum Yerushalmi is good. So any Targum Laz would be good.
Some people are makbid. If you go to Onkulus, you got to do Rashi. You can't do anything else.
This I don't know.
But even if you read Onkulus, he says the word Taurus for Divine. How is that any worse than saying the Pasuk? If you just read the Onkelos, he just doesn't, you know, he says Reuven Shimon, he doesn't say, I don't know what the Aramaic, and how can you, what Aramaic would there be for Reuven and Shimon?
There is no Aramaic. A name is a name.
So how, what kind of translation?
A proper noun. There is no translation. There's no
so
way to translate
it. So what does he, Rishalmi takes it out of the literal meaning?
Rishalmi gives you the original names. The Psukim and the Chumash say, originally they used to be named after Avodah Zarah, then it's Musabos Shem. So Rashi writes on Chumash, they changed the names because you have to change the names of the cities. If the name of the city is Al-Shem Abed-Azos, you got to change it. So Taurus Vedivan was a kosherized, sanitized name. That's after the Jews took over. Before they took over, it used to be known as Machlelta, Malbeshta. Those were the names of Abed-Azor. So that's what the Targum put in, the original name. Rabbeinu Bechaye writes in one place, I think on that pasuk. Rabbeinu Bechaye on that pasuk writes, the Gemara says in Avodah Zarah, there's a din l'shmosu le'machem lois haskiru le'isham al-picha. It's a pasuk in Mishpatim. So you're not allowed to mention Shem Avodah Zarah unless it's an Avodah Zarah that's mentioned in the Torah. So what about these machlelta malbeshta? These are not mentioned in the Torah, but it's mentioned in the Targum Onkelos. So you're allowed to say that name of the Avodah Zarah. So he says, yeah, that's what the Gemara means to say. Afilu al Torahs v'divon, you're allowed to say the Targum on that pasuk, even though it's an Avodah Zarah, it's not really mentioned in the Torah, it's considered as if it were mentioned. Because al Torahs v'divon were the kosherized names after they changed the name, Musabo Shem. So those Avodah Zarahs are basically yes mentioned in the Chumash. So you're allowed to say the Targum. That's what the Rabbeinu Bechaye says. You're permitted to say the Targum, so the Mele, but it's not Targum, that's what the Vilna Gaon says. It's not really Targum in your Unkelos, is really Targum Yerushalmi. It's a different thing.
Is all this whole machlokas that Targum, whether it has to be Unkelos or something else, is only Nafkimina Shemekarvecha Targum?
Yeah.
Also for the Meturgaman in the shul, because they say you have a Meturgaman to Amaratz and can understand. So if today you're in a shul where Ruba de Ruba Amaratz, they don't stay for the Kriya, they go over Kiddush Kabir Kriya, they don't know what's going on. If you could have a Targum in English, especially if it were translated literally from the Onkelos, would that be okay?
Yeah, no one's. Rav Moshe has a tshuva. We're not happy with it because it's not Targum Onkelos. The rabbi's going to get up and give a whole drosha ben gavra legavra between one pasuk and the other. But we have no choice. It's better the rabbi should give a drosha ben pasuk le pasuk and give his own Targum than the alternative is going to be the people are going to go to the Kiddush Bar. They'll just be schmoozing away in the shul.
But does he say it's totally in this machlokas or it's just purely in his last?
No, I think it says it's an ace loss.
According to Tosfos, shouldn't it be water
lechatchila? No. The Tachon in the days of Ezra that they had Mefarish with some Sechel that they recited Kriyas HaTorah with the Targum Onkelos, that was Targum Onkelos.
Okay.
That's supposed to be other Targum. Then you have the Targum of Sadi going there in Arabic. He saw that the Targum Onkelos isn't helping. It's not helping the people understand. He made an ace lasses. He made his own Targum. So if you live in a generation where you have to make an ace lasses in English, you got no choice.
This chiyuv is a chiyuv of common Torah, not a chiyuv. The way of learning, if somebody is limited in time, he's in the middle of a studio, he's prepared to shit, he has a chiyuv to do shnayim v'kevach ha'tagim, you look at half an hour, even though to him it's really, he knows the chumash, he knows the Targum, he did it for 20 years.
Yeah.
He do it every week.
I thought that
yes.
He has to hear Kriyas HaTorah on Sheni Mechamishi and Shabbos morning.
Kriyas HaTorah is
Takana.
Yeah.
So this is a later Takana, whoever, Amar Avuha.
I mean, this is not Bishas Kriyas HaTorah.
Yeah. It's a Takana along the lines of Kriyas HaTorah. Yashleman Parshiyos and Matziba. This is to enhance the Kriyas HaTorah. You have to be Mabesedra in conjunction with the Kriyas HaTorah. So I would think that even if one is Tarasa and Nasan is busy preparing Shurim, he has to be Mabe Sedra. I would assume so.
So it says
Marichin
lo Yom Vushnosan, that you give me time off for it because.
Okay. The days will get longer, means instead of 24 hours, we have 26 hours. So we have 2 extra hours a day. Marich and low.
Maybe. Accomplish more.
Accomplish more.
Accomplish.
Okay. Be able to accomplish more.
Rapposman said that Marich and low Yom Hashanah is because people don't understand the uncle is and they're doing it anyway. And so it's a waste of time for them. So he gets Arichas Yomim for that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it was his own or something else.
Even though they have the sense that they're wasting time, so the Gemara says not. Okay. Okay, we'll leave that at tomorrow. We'll continue.